Back to the different versions of the Bible. You can see there, yeah, you've got the chart and you've got a little arrow thing that shows you at one end a literal Bible, like that Greek New Testament, which I will pass around. I'm going to pass everything around. And the other end of the spectrum on page 28 is a paraphrase Bible. The easiest ones to read are paraphrases, but they're not terribly reliable as Bibles. To make it really easy to read, they've obviously had to change some words. They've had to change some expressions and sayings. The example I always use is let the bag out of the cat. If, you know, Jesus said something about letting the bag out of, or the cat out of the bag, if somebody ever said, you know, if somebody in the Bible said that, in a literal Bible, they would translate it word for word. This ancient Hebrew expression, you know, would be translated, he let the bag, the cat out of the bag. And if that was a really ancient expression, none of us would have a clue what it meant until we went and read some historical notes about it and said, oh, that means telling somebody something you shouldn't have told them. I've got it. You told the secret. In a paraphrase Bible, all it's going to say is, and then Jesus told them the secret he shouldn't have. And you'll never know it had anything to do with cats or bags. Okay? So that's the balance you have to have here. Is it going to be understandable or is it going to be accurate? And so people have written different Bibles to try to get at the different ends of that spectrum. So in the paraphrase end of things, the easiest Bible to understand that you can find is going to be the Message. It's pretty popular because it's an easy, fast way to read the Bible. If you want to read the Bible like a novel, this is it. It doesn't even have verse numbers in it. So you can't quote it and say, John 3:16 says. Because there's no verse numbers because it's meant to read like a novel. It's meant to be very easy to read. If you're just looking to get a sense of the story, who went where and did what when, this is a great way to do it. If you're looking for a Bible to quote from and to really kind of, you know, get into the Word of God, this probably isn't it. It's easy to read, but it's not really the Bible. It's a paraphrase. It's actually not even translated so much from the original Greek and Hebrew. It's a paraphrase. So it's somebody taking an English Bible and trying to make it easier to understand. That's why it says Eugene Peterson on it. There's actually an author to this Bible because it's what he thinks the Bible means. So you can't quote this and say, the Bible says this. Well, no, Eugene Peterson says. I trust Eugene Peterson, he's a good guy. But it's still not the Bible. So easiest way to read the Bible ever is the Message. Second easiest, but a little more trustworthy, is going to be something like the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation, you'll see on your spectrum there, is still on the paraphrase end of things. But it's still translated. It is a true translation from the Greek and Hebrew. So they're doing their best to translate from the original languages and still make it understandable. So this is a good one, especially if you're learning English and you want to read an English Bible, then something like this is going to be a good translation that you can actually trust and find readable at the same time. Most people in the world use the New International Version. The NIV. It's the most popular Bible in the world. You'll find on that spectrum it's right in the middle. They've tried to balance readability and accuracy, and that's why it's so popular, because it's right in the middle. You can trust it and you can read it. So the NIV is very popular. You can pass it around. Yeah, make sure you pass it between both tables, guys. This particular NIV Bible is a study Bible as well. So the letters like NIV, NRSV, all these letter codes, they all refer to the translation of the Bible, the words that are used in the actual Bible. The fact it's a study Bible means there are notes at the bottom that explain what you're reading. So when you get to a troublesome part, you can just look down to the note that relates to that verse, and you can see what they might have meant. That's obviously editorial content. That's not the words of the Bible. It's somebody helping you understand them. And so there are lots of different study Bibles out there. This is one that I recommend and sell here at the course. So that's the NIV, very middle of the road. If you don't want to read, you're not a reader, you can listen to the Bible. This is very close to the NIV. It's the TNIV. It was a failed product. They tried to market it as the TNIV. Nobody bought it. So now they've canned the TNIV, and they just redid the NIV and are selling it and not telling anybody they changed it. But the TNIV, this is an audio Bible in the TNIV version, and so you'll find NIV stuff is really popular. Everybody's got it, so lots of people have made it into audio versions and things like that. But if you're spending a lot of time in your car, you can buy MP3 CDs like this, or you can buy audio CDs to listen to, or download stuff, or listen for free if you're online. So pass that around. That one is all African-American actors and pastors, and it's all Hollywood sound effects and things, so it's pretty fun to listen to. It's very exciting. So that's the middle of the road, NIV. Getting a little more literal and a little less readable is the NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version. Again, a very popular version of the Bible. It's the one you have on your tables that you're welcome to take home and read from. It's trying to balance readability and accuracy. It's trying to balance those things. The one thing it does differently from the NIV, the old NIV anyway, is the NRSV is intentionally gender inclusive when it can be. And so if somebody writes a letter and says, "Dear brothers," the translators of the NRSV are going to say, "You know what, he wasn't just writing to the boys. He was actually writing to his family in Christ, and although he says brothers, he really means brothers and sisters." And so they're going to translate brothers and sisters. It's not really what the Bible said in a direct translation, but they're trying to say that that's what they meant. What they meant was brothers and sisters. Now, there may be times where it's obvious he just meant the boys, and that's different. But the NRSV is one of those Bibles that's gender inclusive. That's why it's what we generally will read in church, the NRSV. Fewer stumbling blocks. And then finally, the most literal Bible I would recommend you actually read in this day and age is the ESV, English Standard Version. It's very new. It's like less than 20 years old. And it's obviously then got the latest scholarship in it. I find it readable, even though it's actually at the literal end of the spectrum. It's not even on this spectrum because it's too new. So this, if you look at this, you won't see ESV. But it is towards the literal end of things while still being modern English. So I recommend it. I like it. I do sell these value thin line versions of it for just $15. Or this is a great study Bible that I use. It's about $50 though, so I don't sell it here. But it's got lots of great study notes in it. If you want to see what study notes look like or what a study Bible has in terms of, you know, maps and introductions to, you know, books and characters and things, you can flip through this one as we pass it around. So that's the ESV, and obviously the most one of the most challenging Bibles to read is the King James Version, because it's so hard to read that English, and it's a very literal translation. And then there are even more literal ones that show you the Greek and Hebrew in line with English and things like that, and just translate word for word and are almost completely incomprehensible. This chart will help you with some of this. It tells you the version, the reader grade level. So King James is grade 12, and most of you have forgotten your grade 12 by now probably, so it's hard. And then distinguishing features gives you a sample passage, the same passage in all these different versions, so you can see the difference. And then the theological perspective. Who asked for a new translation of the Bible and why? That's what the theological perspective will tell you. Okay, second point, takes a long time. Get a Bible. Get a good one. After you get a Bible, get comfortable, minimize your distractions, do it at the best time of day for you when you're alert and able to pay attention to what you're reading, and set aside that time, keep it sacred for this purpose. And then finally, set a reasonable goal. That's why I have you starting with little tidbits. Maybe this is way too short for you. These 100 little passages every day, you're going to be like, "Oh, it's so small, I want to read lots." That's great, you can build from here, but don't start big, because then you'll get discouraged. Something will happen in life and you won't be able to keep it up and you'll lose it. So start small, prove to yourself you can do it, and then build on top of that. And then if crisis hits, you'll be able to drop back to a manageable level rather than just dropping the whole thing altogether because you've never known any different. So start small, start reasonable.
Well, we have a question for you to discuss today. And as usual, we hope that you won't just think about it on your own, but that you'll share your thoughts with some friends, family, colleagues, fellow commuters, somebody else in your life who might benefit from taking this course to help them grow as a Christian. Here's your question for today. What do you hope to gain by reading the Bible? Well, have a great discussion, and I'll see you tomorrow. Bye for now.